I also invite you at this time, if you have a candle around, if you have your Bible out, it's a good time to set your worship space as a way to be reminded that God is with us no matter how we are here together. And so we invite you to do that. All right. So let us listen to the prelude. Amen. Thank you, Perry. Word of welcome to everyone to Grace United Church of Christ. We're so glad that you could join us. For where no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here to where we're listening to the still speaking voice of God. Couple announcements this morning. I want to give thanks for Perry, our organist/pianist. For Jack, who's our liturgist, and Terry, who's in the sanctuary, who has brought flowers again to make that space very special. And I also want to begin by saying it's great to be back from my 2 weeks of paternity leave. And Jessica and I want to say thank you for those 2 weeks that we could have with Jamie and to get into the routines. And we just give thanks for the cards that you've given us and the welcome that we're feeling from Grace. And we just are so appreciative for that. So if you turn to your bulletin, let us join together in the responsive call to worship. God, we turn to you in this moment of worship. Loving God, your grace includes all. God, we turn from the passions of our hearts to unite with the passions of your heart. Loving God, your heart includes all. God, we turn from an us versus them mindset, for you are a loving God where all belong and all have worth. Let us worship the God who can't help but include all of creation.
Our first reading today comes from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
And now I invite you to join me in the responsive prayer of confession. Compassionate and merciful God, we confess that we are often unsympathetic to suffering in our world. We are far from living the kingdom where kindred can live together in unity. We witness violence, greed, slander, and oppressive policies that have life or death consequences for our neighbors. But because it does not harm us, we remain silent. Forgive us, O God, when we neglect our inner Christ to speak out in solidarity. Through your spirit and self-giving love in Jesus Christ, give us the courage to center our lives to co-create a just world for all. Amen. And join me in the words of assurance. In Christ, we are given new life. The old is gone away. The new is before us. We are freed to live fully in the present. That's the good news that sets us free to love.
Our next reading comes from Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. my daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly.
Thank you, Jack, for reading our scripture this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Years back, I heard this scripture preached, and the pastor said something that has stuck with me ever since. She said, in this text, we encounter a rare look at Jesus with his compassion down. And then she said, and I believe faithfully and with respect, said, this is jerk Jesus. Jesus is being kind of a jerk. And I don't think she's wrong in her assessment. If you heard Jack read this, or as he read this, and you weren't shocked, I invite you to listen once again to what is going on. Jesus is traveling to a foreign land, most likely to reach out to Jewish villages scattered across the region, when a Gentile woman begins shouting for help. Her daughter is being tormented by this demon, and more likely that demon represents a mental or physical illness or suffering. The disciples tell Jesus, just ignore her because she's shouting, ignore her. And that is what Jesus does. Jesus ignores her. And when her screams become so loud, he responds by saying, I was sent only to the sheep of the house of Israel. Israel, not Gentiles. This woman, being a Gentile, is out of the service area for Jesus. He lets it be known that he is not there for her. Well, that answer is unacceptable. And the woman finally forces her way in front of him and begs, Lord, help me. And this is what Jesus says. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Did Jesus really just say that? Our Jesus, love your neighbor Jesus, I came here to heal the sick Jesus. This is a rare glimpse of Jesus in his full humanity that we're not used to seeing or thinking about. Jesus is excluding this woman from the kingdom of God. Now, the placement of this story is made more interesting by what Jesus did before his encounter with the Canaanite woman. You see, Jesus was confronting systems of exclusion at the temple. The Pharisees were using the ritual of washing one's hands to exclude and condemn people for being sinners in God's eyes. Jesus condemns their use of tradition that may at one point have served to honor God, but since has been used to exclude people from the community. Jesus uses that opportunity to warn his disciples about the consequences of what leaves one's mouth, which really boils down to one's own ego and our individualistic mindset. Listen to verse 19. For out of the heart, out of this ego, comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, theft, false witness, and slander. And we can see the truth of Jesus' teachings in our world today, and how those with the biggest egos are the very ones that have to win or be the best at all costs. And the natural course of such a philosophy will exclude and keep people on the outside. So it is shocking then that in the land of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus succumbs to the same heart bent on his own will instead of God's. This woman was deemed unworthy because of her gender, her race, religion, and nationality. Jesus says no to the woman who is desperate to see her daughter healed. In essence, there is no place for you in the kingdom of God. And if you weren't shocked before, you really should be now. Jesus is saying there is not room at the table for this woman based on who she is and the culture she belongs to. And respectfully, Jerk Jesus uses the woman's identity, similar to the Pharisees' use of tradition, to exclude her from supposedly experiencing God's grace. We have all been the ones excluded, and we all have been the ones excluding. Around the age of 10, my best friend's father built this amazing clubhouse in the grove of trees behind our house. It was amazing. It had two stories to it, with a ladder going from the first floor to the second floor. There was a shingled roof on top, and a slide went from the second story down to the ground. He even built a front porch with a little chair on it. And this was our oasis for my friend and I. And we did not want to share it with anyone. So when my friend's little sister wanted to play with us, this was our reaction. We decided to make up some rules. And at one point, I remember we looked out at her and said, anyone wearing pink is not allowed in the clubhouse. We were that petty. And looking back, it was very immature of us to do. It really was. We wrote the rules to exclude her at all costs. That being said, adults, we aren't much better. We have these same clubhouse type rules built into our society with the purpose of keeping people out. The difference is, whether one is in or out of the club has real life or death consequences for people in our community. And we can be just as immature, just as unwilling to change the rules so everyone can enjoy the full benefits of our community. For instance, if we were to look at what demographics have access to fresh produce, clean drinking water, adequate public education, or health insurance, we will quickly see patterns of those who are excluded. And while it is prevalent amongst all demographics, consistently, those living in poverty or low income, specifically Black and Brown communities, are most at risk for not having basic access to the things they need to be healthy and successful. So in 2020, it is not a coincidence that we are seeing the largest racial protests in our country's history. It is not a coincidence that a number of politicians are critiquing the way our economy is set up with losers and winners, and how they are advocating for the poor whose situation continues to worsen as the rich get richer. And while it may be hard to watch mass demonstrations on TV, it is sad that it takes this type of movement to confront the well-off and the cozy to understand the circumstance of those who are excluded. Throughout scripture, we see that God critiques these types of systems that exclude others. And in almost every circumstance, calls on prophets or disciples to address inequality. You see, the kingdom on earth is not a utopian dream for one individual, but a corporate reality where all people have what they need, no strings attached. And this is the biblical notion of justice, which could be the central message of the four Gospels, and certainly how the Canaanite woman challenges Jesus and his notion of who is in and who is out. But exclusion is not just beyond the walls of the church, but it can also be in the church. Christians here, especially in the United States, have taken the message of Christ, one that seeks to include all people in this kingdom, and they have made church yet another place where one has to prove their worth. Like the Pharisees and our no pink rule in the clubhouse, there are certain assumptions about who is welcome in the church. For example, the following question I have heard from countless people, both in the church and through friends and family. Why does the church have to be labeled open and affirming? We already say we welcome all people. The simple answer is that Christianity in the United States, by and large, exclude LGBTQIA people. And they do so without needing to put it on a lawn on their front, or a sign on their front lawn. It is assumed that Christians believe LGBTQIA people are by their identity, like the Canaanite woman, by their identity are sinful and a violation to this natural order, instead of, as they really are, a gift of God, which can't be anything but beautiful. Like Jesus says to the Canaanite woman, many Christians say God's grace does not include you. But the truth is that anyone, and I mean anyone, even Jesus in this passage, who proclaims a God who says no, you can be sure it is not God speaking, but the ego or the individual insecurity to exclude others. One reason I love the name of our church, Grace, is that it reminds us that God does not say no. God says yes to all living things. They are all loved and created good and included just as they are. That is the very meaning of grace. So why are we open and affirming? Frankly, because God is. So when Jesus gets caught up in who is in or who is out, it is the Canaanite woman who is persistent in getting across that there is an abundance of God's grace. There is room for her and her daughter in the kingdom. And it's also important to note here, she is not subtle. She forces her way before Jesus, kneeling before him and even raises his voice at him, yet always addressing him appropriately in the Jewish way as Lord. And an interesting turn of events, the woman becomes the teacher, revealing the expansiveness of God's grace. As she says, as Jack just read a few moments ago, yet even the dogs, even the ones you believe are unworthy, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Wow. Do you see what she just did? She spoke the truth, reminding Jesus that God is big enough, God is gracious enough, God is loving enough to include her in the narrative. And here comes the second and perhaps most shocking phrase from Jesus. He says, "Woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith." Did Jesus really just say that? Great is your faith? Jesus knew the truth when he heard it. He realized that he was functioning out of this worthy versus unworthy mindset of the Pharisees and my childhood clubhouse, and not from the everyone is worthy mindset of God. Great is your faith. And the woman's daughter was healed instantly. So I feel like I've been a rather harsh towards Jesus this morning. It feels a little different for me. So I want to give him a little love back. Jesus, in his relatable humanness, demonstrates how easy it is for us to forget that God's grace encompasses all. And usually we tend to fall back on our tribalism, our own group. And I'm afraid our society is becoming more and more tribal. As I mentioned earlier, the haves and the have-nots, the racial disparities, even amongst Christians in their churches. But the Canaanite woman calls us back to something universal and true. God's love is inclusive. It welcomes all people and shows no partiality and is making all things whole. God says yes to every living thing. And maybe that's what we all need to be reminded of, just as Jesus did. The Canaanite woman reminds us to be persistent in including more people in the life of the community. And to do so for Jesus is nothing short of faith. So in the week to come, may your faith be great. Amen. So I invite you to sing along with our next hymn, which is, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Pastoral prayer today, We didn't have anyone lift any prayers up, and perhaps that needs to be in our prayers as well. We are all going through so much as we continue to endure this pandemic. So let's keep all of us and all those who are struggling right now with isolation and not being able to see the people they want to see or go where they want to go. We keep all the health workers in our prayers, all those who've contracted COVID and are healing up. And we keep all of them close to us this morning. Also, last week, Harold Bigham passed away. And I'm not sure if this was mentioned in last week's service, but we want to continue to lift up Harold and Donna and their family as they continue to grieve his passing. As a note of celebration, I do want to celebrate the birth of Jessica and my son, who is 3 weeks old yesterday. So we give thanks for Jamie Lane McDevitt for coming into our lives. And we are so looking forward to when Grace can love on him and can pick him up and show him the welcome and love that you've shown us already. And so that day cannot come soon enough. So we want to celebrate the birth of Jamie and the gift that he is to us and to us all. So let us come together in a time of prayer to God. Let us pray. Gracious and welcoming God, whose presence and work in the world continues to wrap us and all things in divine love, we come to you in prayer as people longing for peace and harmony. We long to live our lives connected to your will. And when we do, we can see the world as you do, connected and worthy of your grace. May we have this same grace for our neighbors, no matter how they identify. May we become the grace we have received through Christ, so we can be instruments of your will. God, we pray for all those who need reminding of your great love for them, in isolation, in difficult life decisions, through surgery and rehab, through sickness, through suffering. God, you time and time again show up for us and support us and affirm us through your presence. And to that, O God, we say thank you. Thank you for never leaving our side. Even in the moments where we felt alone, you were there. God, we pray for teachers and students and principals and custodians who are about to get ready to go back to school. We pray that those who are going back to the school building, that they are safe, that people make good decisions. We pray that the children are safe and that they can learn in an environment that is healthy. God, we pray for our leaders in the world, those who have the power to make important decisions. God, we pray that you surround them with your heart that is always bent towards including others and bent on giving people what they need. Gracious God, we pray all of this in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So we now enter a time of offering with a brief reflection on giving. And this is our reminder that we continue to do the good work of God in our community. And the church continues to meet and have meetings, and our bills are still there as well. And so we invite you to give as you can. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You're welcome to mail it to the church office or drop it off during the weekday during office hours. Or you're welcome to go as it is printed in your bulletin. Or if you go to our church website, you can give online, which is the way Jessica and I prefer to give. And so we also know that there's gifts coming in all week to the church, and we want to honor those gifts and remind ourselves of who they're for, and that it really comes down to our dedication to our loving God. And so I invite you to join me in the prayer of dedication that is in our bulletin. Let us join together. Through our offerings, we identify with the cause of Christ. We proclaim our concern for all people and name them as our next of kin. We identify with their suffering and grief and rejoice when good comes to them. Both our material resources and our personal time and effort are offered here to extend the body of Christ in this moment in history and into the whole world. Amen. And I invite you to join in our final hymn. So friends, continue your journey walking in love. Care for one another. Care for the earth. Seek justice and make peace. God goes before you. Live boldly, celebrate, and sing. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace.